Okay. Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome everyone who's here and welcome everyone who is online.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So I want to welcome everyone who's here. Welcome everyone online. My name is Jesse Gregoire. I'm going to be reading from God's Word along with my son, Jack. We're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians. So we're going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, "I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you."
This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it.
Good job, buddy.
Good job. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Thank you. Just a reminder for those of you who might be just listening to the podcast or checking in a little bit later, we would love it if you would check in using the app. And if you're new, let us know by clicking that box when you check in as well. We are in a series called As I Follow Christ. I've mentioned that before. And the big question for this whole series is this: who knows how to follow Jesus better because I'm following Jesus? And we've talked about how there's a lot of interaction that happens among the church and people following Jesus, and our example, our learning kind of rubs off on others when we rub shoulders together. And what we're doing in this series is I'm going through these different practices that we do as a body, and you know, we have one source, which is Jesus, and he fills our cup. But there's also a sense in which we also fill each other's cup as well. And so my job in this series is not to necessarily fill your cup, but to empty mine. So that's what we've been doing. As I go through these different practices, these habits, these spiritual disciplines that we do as followers of Jesus, I've been telling you how I do that, and I hope that that helps. So the big idea for the whole series is this, that discipleship is apprenticeship. I won't park here a long time, but just remember that it's not an intellectual exercise alone. It's not something that you learn in the classroom alone. Yes, those are good. Those are helpful. Those are important, but it's actually life on life. It's apprenticeship. It's learning by example. And the key verse for that is the Apostle Paul, who described it this way: follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So all of us together should have our eyes focused on Christ and doing what he would do if he were living in our shoes, listening to the Holy Spirit's prompting and leading and guiding, reading God's word. And then we look to the left and the right and are encouraged by others who are doing the same thing. Now, today is prompted by, I was going to talk about this anyway, but I heard this question being asked, and I thought it was an interesting question, and it'll serve as our question for today. Why is it important for me to serve? Why is it important for me to serve? What are we talking about? We're saying when the church gathers together, when we're in community with one another, a big part of that is the service that we offer to one another. The different ministry teams, the different relational connections that we make. But why is it important to serve? And I have to be honest with you, when I was thinking about this question, I was thinking, that's kind of like asking, why is it important for me to eat ice cream? And why do I have to go to Disney World? I mean, to me, serving is such an important part, such an enjoyable part, such a meaningful part of what it means to be the body of Christ. I can't imagine not doing that. I can't imagine just sitting in seats week after week and not finding a place to give back and to contribute to what's going on, because that's where, I mean, we were designed for that. And that's where some of the greatest fulfillment and enjoyment of your church experience will happen. Now, I recognize, and we'll talk about this, that that's not always the case, that sometimes people get burned out, exhausted, frustrated, but it doesn't have to be that way. And we'll talk about that today. So today's topic is serving. The message is called Do My Bit. And here's the outline. Number one, bottom line, everyone suffers without my service. Everyone suffers without my service. Secondly, I will suffer from, the points are, I suffer from stagnation. We'll come back to these. Others suffer from exhaustion, and we all suffer from deprivation. So I'm going to end up today's service by unapologetically encouraging every single one of us to serve in some way. Now, I know that many of you already are, and people have pointed out to us for a long time that we have an extremely high level of participation, service within our congregation. And I want that to continue. I want it to expand because I know the benefit of it to us individually, to our congregation, and eventually otherwise to our world. So let's dive in together. Let's pray together first. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us the example of service in Christ. I thank you that you have given us a call to service when you said that we are to follow you. And I thank you, Lord, that it is a blessing to be able to do so. And I pray, Lord, that this will land with every person who's watching, listening, here on site in just the way that they need to hear it. Your Holy Spirit can speak individually to every single heart, and I pray that you would do exactly that. Use these words to encourage, to strengthen, to build up, to propel us towards greater and greater faithfulness and enjoyment in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so let me just talk a little bit about this idea that everyone suffers without my service. I mentioned in the prayer, this is the example that Jesus set for us. He is the prime example of service to one another. Here's what he said, "For even the Son of Man," that referring to himself, of course, "came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, the context for that is they were talking about the kingdom, and their idea of the kingdom was we're going to get privilege and power. And so two of the disciples asked along with their mom, can we be on your right and left when you come into your kingdom? We want the greatest prestige and the greatest power. And Jesus said, you're going about it all wrong. The greatest experience that you can have, the reason that I came, and I deserve, Jesus would be able to say, all of the glory, all of the power, I deserve to just sit back and let others do for me. But I came not to be served, but to serve others and to give the ultimate sacrifice, to lay down his life as a ransom for many. And you and I are a part of that many. So if you look at Jesus' ministry thoughtfully, what you will see is that this guided everything that he did. In fact, if I were going to sum up the way that Jesus did life, it was this: to see a need and meet it. To see a need and meet it. The scriptures, the gospels talk about how Jesus would go from town to town and people would bring their sick and the demon possessed and anybody who was suffering, anybody who had a need, and he would fix it, he would fill it, he would meet it. That's what he did. And what about his teaching ministry? People needed to know the truth. They needed to see their world from a different perspective. And so Jesus would teach them and tell them the truth. Said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He would just go everywhere and meet needs. That was the model of his ministry. And then he said this, I have given you an example to follow. So if we say that we are followers of Jesus, we should be doing the same kind of thing. Many of you will know the context to that. In John 13, the disciples are getting together for the Passover meal. There's a need. They need somebody to wash feet, and nobody has washed feet because that's a lowly job. That's beneath them. And so what Jesus does is he stands up, takes off his outer robe, wraps a towel around his waist, and starts going around and washing the disciples' feet. He saw a need, and it didn't matter if he was above it, didn't matter if it wasn't his job, he saw a need, and he met it. And then he said, look, you call me Master and Lord, and rightly so, but I've given you an example to follow. You go and do it, do the same kind of thing, and when you do, you will be blessed. The Apostle Paul picked up on the same idea when he said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I already talked about that. But this is what we are supposed to be doing. In the letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul picks up this theme again. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. In other words, you know, you could do anything you want, but why would you do anything but serve one another? For the whole law can be summed up. Who summed it up this way? In this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when I have a need or want, it's very easy for me to justify spending the money, spending the time, doing what needs to happen, right? That's easy because I like to meet my needs and my desires and my wants and get the stuff that I like and go the places I want to go. What's saying is, what if you went through the world? What if you went through your life with eyes open to what others need and had that same kind of energy, that same kind of effort, that same kind of passion for meeting those needs as well? So that's what we're talking about. But here's the tragic part. When we don't do that, everyone suffers without my service. If I don't do this, then everyone suffers. And it actually starts with me. I suffer from stagnation. We know, don't we, by experience, that if all we do is live a self-centered life where we're only trying to please ourselves, only trying to take care of ourselves, not only will we be frustrated, but we'll be no good to others, right? We know eventually through experience that it is when we get involved in serving others, in meeting their needs, it has a way of taking our mind off of our troubles and our difficulties and making them seem smaller and making others' lives better when we spend time doing that. This is what Jesus taught when he said, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, don't forget that part. There's mission, there's purpose in this. If you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. In other words, this is one of the counterintuitive, countercultural, challenging statements and truths about life in Jesus. The more we try to take care of ourselves, the more slips through our fingers. And the more that we try to give away in service to others, the better it goes for us. Sometimes in church world, they talk about the difference between a consumer and a contributor. And so much of church world is organized around the consumerist mindset. What's in it for me? But that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus' way of doing it. In fact, only consumption is a malfunction. If you're only consuming, if you're only receiving, then there's something broken. Now, I don't know a lot about water management, and I'm not an environmental engineer, but as I understand it, if water only comes in to a place and it doesn't flow out, then that water becomes stagnant and putrid, and you don't want to go swimming in it, right? It's only as water comes in and then flows out, that's what keeps it healthy. And it's the same for our hearts and our lives as well. Here's how it's found in Proverbs. We probably read this recently if we were in the Bible recap. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Now, interesting, because Jesus picks up on this in the Sermon on the Mount. It literally says those with good eyes. Does that sound familiar from the Sermon on the Mount? The good eyes will prosper. They will grow. They will increase. And those who refresh others, those that literally water others, will themselves be watered. So if you have good, if you're generous, that means you have good eyes. That means your eyes are open. You go through life with your eyes open to the needs around you. And when you do that, and when you spend yourself, you pour yourself out to refresh others, then you will prosper and you yourself will be refreshed. It's counterintuitive, but it's true. Now, another thing that people have noticed about our church from time to time, and that I want to encourage and continue, is that we pretty much from the time that people graduate from the children's ministry, once you're in sixth grade and beyond, we're having you serve. And this was always an encouragement to me many years ago, so I'll pass it on to you. For a long time, I was always the youngest guy in any ministry circle. I'm sorry to say that's not the truth anymore, but this verse encouraged me at that time. It said, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." We need our teens and our tweens and our young adults and everybody contributing. But set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity. The way I read that is if you're young, you can be a pace setter for the rest of the church. And that's what I would like to see. Okay, so everyone suffers without my service. And it starts with me. I will suffer from stagnation. I won't grow. I won't develop. I won't be refreshed myself. But also, others suffer from exhaustion, right? Others suffer from exhaustion. Here's how it's supposed to work. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Every single one of us, young, old, men, women, new to the faith, experienced and seasoned in the faith. If you are a follower of Jesus, God has given a spiritual gift to you, and its purpose is so that we can help each other. Many hands make light work, right? And all of us have something to contribute. In that passage that Jesse and Jack read, it likens this is from the same chapter, it likens our fellowship to a body. And you think about your body, and this is the extended illustration that the Apostle Paul uses. Each part, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet, all your internal organs, except for maybe the appendix, right? They all have a purpose. They all contribute. You wouldn't want to do without any one of them because then you would be incomplete and it would be harder. Now, people have different handicaps and disabilities, but they do well with all, but that's not the ideal, right? That's not the design. And so why would we, as the body of Christ, go through life with an unnecessary hindrance, right? But that's what happens if we have people within the body who aren't serving the body. Now then, what happens is that, what is it called? Pareto's principle or something like that, the 80-20 rule. You probably heard of that. That 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. Now, I think we do better than that as a church. Like I said, we've always had high participation, but it should be 100% contributing because each one of us is needed. If I ask you, which of your fingers would you like me to cut off? The answer would be none, right? I mean, you don't do that. So why would we as a church go through that? Because then what happens is you have some people who are bearing an extraordinary amount of load. And then there's exhaustion and there's burnout and there's tiredness. And people think about, I could just leave the church and go to some big church somewhere or just stop showing up or just watch online now because then nobody would have any expectations of me. I could just sit and soak. And I can relate to that. I can empathize with that. But the only reason that some people get to that point is because we're not working as a body the way that we should. And let me also add, often we've had people come into the church that are coming from that kind of experience. They're burned out. They're exhausted. They need a little time where they just sit and rest. This is a place you're welcome to do that. That you can do that. You can get healthy. But part of getting healthy is also eventually getting back involved in a healthy way. So that's what we're aiming to. The Apostle Paul talked about it in, he was talking about money. That's the primary thing he's talking about. But I think it has application to serving as well. He was gathering up an offering to meet the needs of other believers. And he said, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed. In other words, we're not going to ask for a big offering from you when you can't put a roof over your head and food on the table. But there should be some equity. Some people are going to contribute more. Some people are going to contribute less depending on their ability. And then there's going to be balance. All the needs will be met. No one will suffer needlessly. And the same kind of thing happens in our serving as well. And ultimately, it boils down to this, Galatians 6:2. Apostle Paul, again, speaking to the church at Galatia, he's like, this is what it looks like when you love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's talking about. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. If you saw somebody walking in with this huge load, bunch of stuff that they're struggling to carry, you wouldn't just walk by. You would offer to help. You would open the door. And in the same way, the body of Christ cares for one another. We don't let anyone crumble under their load. We bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Because everyone suffers without my service. I suffer from stagnation. Others suffer from exhaustion. And lastly, we all suffer from deprivation. Back to that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Now, he's talking about the physical body, but he's making application to the spiritual body as well. And the way that I would read that is that if you are in a church, you're here on site, you're a part of the congregation, you're watching online regularly, you have something to offer us because God has put each part just where he wants it. We all have something to offer. And without that, we are going to suffer. We suffer. There are things that we could be experiencing, doing, being blessed by that we don't even know about because someone is not ready to step in and offer that service, and they're missing out.
Others are carrying loads that they don't have to. And we are all, as a body, missing out on what he has for us. Because God has strategically placed all the parts of the body, each one of us, exactly where he wants it. So let's employ that. Because everyone suffers without my service. I suffer from stagnation. Others suffer from exhaustion. And we all suffer from deprivation. So now, let's talk about how I think about this and how I've applied this in my own life. And maybe that'll be helpful to you as well. So sometimes people, well, you're a pastor. Of course you do this way. But I'm telling you, if I was quit tomorrow and just found another job and was looking to continue at church, then this is what I would do. This is what I would do. I look for ways to leverage my gifts to help others and advance God's kingdom. I know that God has blessed each one of us, including me, with certain gifts, and that's not for my benefit and my feeling good about myself or anything like that. It's so that I can benefit others and advance God's kingdom. And so if I moved and I was looking around for a church, my primary thing would not be what's going to meet my needs, what's going to make me feel good, what ministries am I looking for? I would be praying about, God, where are you calling me? Where would I be able to be of the most service? Where would I be able to leverage my gifts, my experience, my abilities to benefit people the most and advance God's kingdom? So what if we all had that kind of mindset? It's like, I'm not here just for the benefit. I hope you're really enjoying the benefits. I hope you enjoy the fellowship. I hope you enjoy the teaching. I hope you love being a part of this church. But you're missing out on some of the greatest benefits if you're not leveraging those gifts to help others and advance the kingdom of God. So how do you do that? Well, we're back to this. See a need and meet it. You know, the way that God has wired you, or maybe it's just you hear an invitation and you're like, yeah, that's something I could do. Or I wonder if they've ever thought about this, because that's something that I could do. In experiencing God, it talks about how when God opens your eyes, remember that's the idea of generosity, when he opens your eyes to a need, you should consider, well, maybe that's God's invitation for me to do something about it. See a need and meet it. Now, conversely, or kind of corollary to this, is number two, I'm willing to do what needs to be done, even if it doesn't line up with my gifts. At the first church that I was hired at, I did everything from speaking on a Sunday morning in front of hundreds of people to cleaning the toilet at the office, right? Sometimes you just do what needs to be done because it needs to be done. So we don't always wait just, that's toilet cleaning is not my gift. You know, I'm sure there's somebody else that has that spiritual gift, but it's not me. No, if you see a need, you fill it. And so there needs to be an openness. Sometimes I do stuff that's not exactly in line with my gifts because it needs to be done. And that's what we all do. Think about your household. Think about your family. Think about your work situation. In all of those situations, and including in church, that's what we do. So sometimes there's nothing that's just exactly my niche, but I'm going to do it anyway because it needs to be done. Thirdly, I treat serving like it's worth our best effort, because it is. I treat serving like it's worthy of our best effort, because it is. In Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Now, others may benefit. Others may ask me to help in some way. But ultimately, the reason that I'm doing something is because it's for the Lord. Now, sometimes, speaking very honestly, I have to be careful about this, because sometimes I can get kind of intense
And I can be, I'm a task-oriented person, not a people-oriented person, so I have to watch to make sure that I'm treating people well. But if you've ever seen me kind of get a little bit intense about things around church, or, you know, all right, I didn't need that affirmation, but thank you. but, you know, if that's happening, I'm sorry, but this is the why behind it. I think there's nothing that any of us can do that's more meaningful, more impactful, more worthwhile than pouring ourselves. That's what that scripture said. Remember, pouring ourselves into what we do for the benefit of others and the advancement of God's kingdom. So I take it seriously. That's why excellence is one of our core values. Now, excellence is not perfectionism. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But it's doing the best that you can with the resources that you have. It's, we don't have a lot of resources, but I want to do everything we can with the resources that we have for God's kingdom and the people that he loves, because that's who we're ultimately serving. And so that flows into the amount of effort that I have. It flows into the expectations that I have. If you wouldn't show up late for work, if you wouldn't do a halfway job for your boss, if you wouldn't kind of just say, oh, that's good enough, you know, the Lord sees the heart. Absolutely true. But let's not use that as an excuse to do a halfway job, because there is nothing more important, nothing more valuable, nothing that is going to have a greater eternal impact than what you do when we gather together and for the advancement of God's kingdom. So let's pour ourselves into it. I'll work at being a little bit more relaxed, a little more gentle, a little more understanding. But join me in pouring out ourselves for something that really matters. So if you didn't catch it, I noticed this is the next slide. Excellence is doing the best that I can with the resources on hand. And now I'm going to bring it full circle. Why? What's the promise that we have when we do this? Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The way I started the service, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor for the Lord is not in vain. It's never going to come to nothing. It might seem like it in the moment, but remember, Jesus is the one who said, even a cup of cold water given in my name will not lose its reward. Jesus, if nobody else is noticing, if nobody else is affirming you, if nobody else seems to care or appreciate you, your heavenly Father is keeping a record in his book of every sacrifice you've made, everything that you've done, every gift of generosity, every extra mile that you've walked, he knows, and he will reward it. And it pleases him. I can't imagine that it doesn't please his heart to see that kind of service. So here's what we're going to do. You know, we're in this, make it really practical. We're in a new situation, new location. It's the time of the year anyway, where I like to get our team set up so that before people go away for vacation for the summer, before people kind of scatter to the four winds, that we're set and in a good place, especially as the fall approaches. We don't want to be behind the eight ball when the fall hits. So I'm going to challenge you, ask you to sign up to serve. And what I've done is I've created just very simple sign-up sheets on these clipboards. And it just has a place for your name, because you've already checked in, you've already done all that. We've got your contact info. We just need to know who you are. And then, and there's one for each team that we're talking about today. A short description of the team, so you know what you're signing up for. And then most of them just say availability. And this will be really helpful. Because if you just say, and be as specific as possible, you know, I can greet once a month. I would like to set up the coffee on the first and second Sundays of the month. I can help with communion. That generally only happens once a month. So there's availability. Again, be as specific as possible because that will help with the scheduling and it'll let us know whether we have needs that we still need to fill. There's also one, there's a couple of special ones. There's one that says music. Now, we used to have a band. I hope that we will again. But what I would like is if you have any kind of musical experience, just write your name and then it says voice or instrument. So if you're a vocalist, put that. If you play the trombone, put that. And we just want to kind of get a sense of what skills and talents are out there. Some of them have multiple roles, like there's one for the children's ministry, and you could either be leading in the children's ministry, teaching the lesson. You could be the assistant, which is a second pair of eyes and hands to help out with that. There's junior assistants, which is obviously not people who are the second in their family, but the people who are younger and they can just come in and help, nursery, etc. So some of them have a little bit of variation. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you're already serving in one of these capacities, go ahead and sign there again because I want your updated availability as well. That would be, again, really helpful to the people who are scheduling and leading these teams. And if you are not signed up for anything yet, or you want to add an additional team, on average, people are serving at least in two different roles because it's not an every Sunday thing or something like that. So feel free to add to that. Do the survey for the music if you've got something to add. Look at all the different options that are available. I'm going to have all of them over here on these windowsills so that you can browse around. There's a pin on each one. And take care of that. That'll be really helpful to us because obviously we've got a lot of work to do, but it's not unbearable. It's not overwhelming for our size congregation. And if everybody plays their part, it'll be a cinch. Lastly, if you look at the scriptures, and think about the idea of worship. You know, what does it mean to worship the Lord? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Did you know that there's not a single word for worship? Sometimes it shows physical posture, like to kiss the hand, that's the New Testament, to bow the knee. Sometimes you do it with your posture. But very often in the scriptures, the idea of worship, your allegiance to God, is described this way. You'll be familiar with this passage, many of you, because it's a famous passage. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is challenging the people, and he says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." In other words, in this setting, he's saying, look, people, we've got a choice. We've come into this land. They're filled with people who worship false gods and idols and all that. And some of us have been tempted and some of us have been led astray. But it's a time for choosing. Who are you going to serve? In other words, the whole idea of allegiance, the whole idea of identifying with their God was summed up in this one word. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So just to say yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord, that you want what he did on the cross to count for you, that you want to serve him, walk with him, let him be the leader, guider, and director of your life from that point on, it's summed up in the scripture with that word, I will serve the Lord. So how can we not do the same? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you that we have this opportunity, that you fill us up as we pour ourselves out to others. And I pray, Lord, that we will continue to be a church that is strong in service, high in participation, setting the pace, beginning with our youth, for what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. We thank you for this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Clipboards are over there.